Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. So, wholesalers, you're probably listening to this somewhere around the high entertainment season, if you will. That, for us, would roll us into the back end of November, take us into December, the holidays, lots of parties, lots of festivities. But, you know, wholesalers, we do a lot of entertaining, right? I mean, we're constantly being in front of clients in an entertainment-type setting, a social-type setting. And I want to help you with that. I mean, our goal at Wholesaler Masterminds is to help you holistically with the art, science, and lifestyle of wholesaling. So here we are talking about the lifestyle piece. And 2 years ago, we had a very popular Wholesaler Mastermind radio show with someone who's literally written the book about how to work a room in FEL. That's the name of the book, How to Work a Room. And I find it hard to believe that it is actually the silver anniversary edition 25 years ago, How to Work a Room burst onto the scene. And the author is Susan Rohan. Now, Susan is a best-selling author. She's also a highly sought-after speaker and has been for a number of years. And if you look at the organizations that have hired her, it's the who's who of Fortune 50, Fortune 500, AT&T, Apple, Coca-Cola, Time Warner, Office Depot, and the list goes on. Susan Rohan, welcome, if you will, to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
It is great to be back. Thank you.
It is my pleasure indeed. So let's talk about this. So 25 years, congratulations, and boy, there must have been a lot of editing, because what was cooking and working in How to Work a Room 25 years ago, probably a little different than it is today. Tell me a little bit, how'd you have to go through this updating process?
Oh, well, after tearing out my hair, well, you know what, it's taking a look at what's going on. The book was a smaller book 25 years ago. Really, we expanded because the rooms have expanded. We now know how important working a room is. We now know how important the follow-up is. And it was a small group of people that really knew that they were doing that. So some things did have to be dropped. A lot of words that don't exist anymore, because verbiage changes and you want it to make sure it makes sense to people today. But really, the ability to communicate and to connect in a room is so vital, Rob. I mean, to every profession, that we had to make it, I had to make it, easy, doable, practical, and what we call replicable. I wanted to really make it easy for people to use this as a guide so they can go to any meeting or convention or party.
Now, you talk about rooms, but you use it rather metaphorically, correct?
I mean, definitely. A room doesn't even have to have four walls, a ceiling, and a floor. I just did some business with someone I met at a Stanford football game tailgate. That room had a sky to it. It's really where there's any gathering that you're in any way in the presence of other people. And that room could be online, but it really is not defined by walls and floors and ceilings.
So one of the chapters of your book is called Ruminations, which, of course, is a clever take, and you're talking in there about some tips, really all-weather things that need to be considered to get ready to go into the room, to be present in the room, and then what to do after we leave the room, whether the room is, as you say, physical, four walls with a bar at one end and the buffet table at the other, or whether it's metaphorical in nature. Again, it's not confined by those four walls. So let's dig in. Let's make the topic of our discussion, if we could today, please, around these three things. How do I get ready? How do I be in the room? And what do I do to follow ups? Is that a good path to head
that
today?
That's exactly what – that's why I said it's ruminations, and I know I love my puns. I hope the readers who buy my books do too, and if they don't, they really need my book. But it's how do you – the getting ready, what people don't understand is if you don't do the getting ready part, being in the room is more difficult.
Well, help me out, because getting ready means I need to make sure I shower, I need to shave, and make sure I wear some clothing that represents the event in myself in the proper fashion. What else am I getting ready with?
Well, you're getting ready to be in a room with people and to have conversations. So one of the things we do is, and this is so easy now, I tell this to my clients when I speak, it's you just can do a search. You're going to an event. You put it into the search engine. You come up with information. You should know something about who might be attending, what the purpose of the event is, et cetera. The preparation is so much easier now. So that's one thing. You have an idea of who's going to be there, what the goal is, et cetera. The second thing is you want to make conversation. I don't care if you read it online, on your phone, or on your Dick Tracy watch, read the news. When you read the news, there is so much to make conversation about. It could be sports, it could be weather, it could be movies, it could be politics, and it can be politics, there's a certain amount, the general we can talk about. It could be, you know, if you're in your own profession, it could be something going on in the profession. So you prepare yourself so that you have conversation that you can bring to that person when you're talking to them, sometimes off the cuff, and maybe it's as much as, how long did it take you to find a parking space? That is so in common with people. So you prepare. You read your paper. Know what's going on locally. Know what's going on nationally.
So I heard two very distinct things. One is, to the extent that it applies to the event that I'm going to, right, because if it's, say, a dinner I'm hosting with clients, that may not have any lineage to it, any history to it. But if I'm going to, say, an event at the local museum that's an annual affair, I should do some homework, understand what the history of it is, how long has it been going on, how much money does it raise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the first thing I heard you say. And then the second thing I heard you say was being able to speak about a broad range of concepts and topics, whether they're current events, world events, whatever the case may be. So I have kind of a range of things to select from in terms of making conversation. Is that correct?
Absolutely, because you don't know. You know, people say, oh, that person wasn't very open and friendly and they're not a good conversationalist. When we find that one thing that we have in common, or the one thing the person, whether you're the host of the dinner event, that they're interested in, guess what? Even the most sullen person opens up.
So let's go to the second thing then. So we have some preparation beyond making sure we look appropriately right for our part that night or that day. What am I doing in the room? What are some of those best suggestions, best tips?
First of all, before you even go in the room, and this is part of the preparation, prepare what you're going to say to introduce yourself.
Okay.
A lot of people don't do that. They go, oh, yes, I'm wearing the right outfit. I figured out how to, you know, MapQuest or, you know, GPS my way here. But the reality is there's more to it than that. So you want to get in that room, but you want to come in there with how you're going to introduce yourself for two reasons. Then you know what you're going to say, but also when you do that, you role model for people how you want them to respond. If you say your full name and something about yourself, they'll generally repeat what you do. Then you're finding out something about someone, not only their name, but what they do, and then you can start listening and start the conversation going. First, have your own plan, practice self-introduction. But if I might add, it's not what people tell you. It's not a 30-second pitch. It's 7 to 9 seconds. It's a pleasantry, and it's tied to the event you're going to.
So give us a real-time example here. We're with the expert on how to work a room. So give me an example. So I understand one of the things you're saying. I'm not just going to walk in and say, hi, I'm Rob, and they respond and say, hi, I'm Jill, because now I don't really have a lot to work off. If I extend my hand and say, hi, I'm Rob Shore with Wholesaler Masterminds, at least I now have a first name, last name, and a company to associate. But you're saying there might be something more. Give me an example.
Yes. Well, our colleague Patricia Fripp says, give the benefit of what you do rather than your title.
Okay.
So I'll give the example. A gentleman I met in a coffee shop while I was writing a book, how he introduced himself was the perfect benefit statement. He said, he said his name, and then he said, I help rich people sleep at night.
Oh, he's a financial advisor, clearly.
Exactly. But see what I thought? I thought he was a pharmacist. So I was like, oh. Then I just simply said to him, do you help the not so rich? But what he did is he said something so engaging, said it very deadpan, and what he did by doing that, by giving me the benefit in a kind of fun way, he allowed me to ask the next question. I thought I started the conversation. Actually, he did. We still are friends from that little exchange. So if you give people a benefit, you give them something to talk about and something to ask a question about rather than my serious title.
So wholesalers, one of the things that, Susan's talking about here is really interesting, and that is it also relates to your PVP, your peerless value proposition, right? Because if you've worked out your peerless value proposition the right way, that can go directly to your benefit statement. That's a big aha moment for me in this discussion. It gives us a way to angle our PVP into, appropriately into, the introduction of what we do. All right, so let's go to number three. We got the how to get ready. We've got a nugget about how to be in the room. What am I supposed to do afterwards?
How about if you don't follow up? As I wrote in my Secrets of Savvy Networking, if you don't follow up and you walk away with all those cards and they go to the cleaner in your pocket, you're a one-night stand. So the number one thing we do is we meet people, we connect, we have the conversation, we must follow up or it's all lost. And the follow-up can take many ways. We can follow up through, you know, email, through social media, through a phone call. If we promise someone information, and you'd be so surprised, Rob, how many people tell me people don't follow through, we give them what we say we're going to send them when we say that we're going to send it.
Oh, you're preaching to the original choir on that one. So I know, I completely agree with you. It doesn't surprise me in the least. As a matter of fact, wholesalers, you know I tell you all the time. If you just do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it, you're already head and shoulders to the rest of the wholesalers that never come through on what their promises are. So absolutely on that, Susan. What else am I doing as far as follow-up?
Well, the part of the follow-up is that it has to be in multi ways. I mean, if everyone is sending an email, yes, send the email, and I'll tell you why, because that means the person can click respond and a reply and get back to you. So now you're in an online conversation. But do what people don't do, which is stand out from the crowd and actually pick up your phone and use that app that makes a phone call.
Let's take the last couple of minutes and talk about that. It's off the script, if you will, but I want to talk to you about this for a second. So would you agree that circa 2013 heading to 2014, talking on the phone is quickly becoming a dying art?
It is that and worse. I was going to say more, but it's actually that and worse. And truly, if your wholesalers want to stand out in the crowd, to do what nobody else is doing, to let someone have a sense of your voice, your enthusiasm, leave a message that's upbeat and informational, that will stand you out from the crowd. I think people are getting back to the idea that you really actually have to talk to people face-to-face for sure, but really follow up and use the phone the old-fashioned way. You actually make a client and you make a friend and you make a contact that turns into a long-term relationship.
All right. The clock.
I'm bossy here.
No, listen. These are just like little things that as the onion begins to peel in our conversation. This is important because I talk to enough wholesalers in the course of the day in the coaching practice and sometimes, and wholesalers, you know me, I love email. Heck, I teach you how to do better email, but it's not at the expense of having a real live conversation. And I think that's an important takeaway. It's an add to and for the right business purpose. All right. Susan Rowan, let me be one of the first to congratulate you on the 25th anniversary of How to Work a Room, and thank you for being with us today.
It's my pleasure, and it'll be in the bookstores December 31st, so if you don't have a New Year's date, go to the bookstore.
Wholesalers, head on out to the website. We'll hook up the book as soon as it's ready for pre-order, et cetera. We will invite Susan back at some later date as she continues to update How to Work a Room, and do join us next time, wholesalers, for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.